When I was a, when I was a young man coming to church, they sang that about every meeting. Jerusalem, my happy home, was probably one of the songs that I remember most of all. Woody Pack sang.
Woody Pack
could be in a crowd of 500 people.
Yeah.
And you can hear him over top of every one of them. He had a voice like a trumpet.
Sure did.
He had a wonderful gift, and he was a good brother. Brother Woody was. I like
good to get my guy when he was young. I was fooling.
He was a he was a jokester.
He's a jokester.
He was a good preacher and a good singer, but boy, he liked to tell jokes. And I stayed all night with him one night at association. And I declare this ain't no joke. Him and Paris Tackett was there, and Paris Tackett was a jokester. He was a preacher, but he was a jokester. He tells jokes, and it's clean, nothing dirty, nothing. And they got telling jokes, and I laughed so hard. I was in the floor. My sides was hurting, and I was just, please, don't say nothing else. You know how you laugh, and the more you laugh, the more you laugh, and pretty soon, you're at the point you can't breathe. I ain't never laughed that hard in my whole life. I never forgot. I still see myself today in that floor lane. And, I mean, tears are running. Brenda, she starts laughing off. She'll start crying. Big tears come out of her eyes. I'm going to take just a few minutes of time here. There ain't a whole lot here tonight.
Lord, brother.
We're just going to read just a little bit. Get your Bibles, and we'll just slow down just a little bit just sort of talk along with the scripture. 1847, the book of Hebrews. First chapter. I thought about another chapter, but the book of John, but I thought it's probably a good chapter. We just
caught in that, boy.
Yeah, we're just going to go sort of slow and sort of just read a little bit. I mean, things has happened to people in life, you know, when that little, the saying come out, WWJD. I got a pamphlet, and I read that little book. It was a little book about this big, of the life, how it got started. And if you've never read it, you need to get it and read it. Because I'm telling you what, I couldn't read it for crying. I mean, the what took place in that young woman's life and the reason that come about in this big church and how it moved that whole community and that church and all these people. It was had high authorities. And because they done that to her, that pastor said, before we do anything for the next year, we will ask the first question in the morning before we make any decisions the whole day, what would Jesus do? And they said when that year was up, the decisions they made was astounding.
I bet.
Astounding. And you can use that in your life today. If you've got a question and you're wanting answered, if you've got a problem in your life, you need to make a decision. I guarantee you, if you'll ask what would Jesus do and go to his book for the answer, this is his letter to you. You want the answer? It's written right here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read just a little bit and just going to sort of go real slow. And we're just going to sort of look into this. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, who was the fathers? Now, you know, I'm just going to go and just sort of ask little questions along. And I thought this would be good since there ain't a whole lot of people here. And we just sort of read along here. Concerning those people that followed God under the law, the prophets spoke unto the fathers in time past. That's how God spoke unto people, through prophets. Has in these last days. Now, I'm going to stop right there. In these last days. Now, people think that we're waiting for the end of time before the last days come. Now, here has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Has in these last days. And now that is a good point to keep in your mind. Always remember when somebody says, well, now the last days is not here. We're coming to the last days. It's been the last days since Christ. Since Christ spoken unto us by his Son. When did he speak unto us?
Last
The mysteries that was hidden from ages and ages had been revealed in our time and when Christ come. That was the mystery that was hidden from ages and ages. That was the mystery of God. God was justified in the world, seen of angels, preached unto the world, received up in the glory. That was the mystery. That's when he spoke to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory. And people say, well, now there's, Jesus wasn't there before the world was. I want you to listen to some of this. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. Expressed image. Must have been just like him, right? And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged out sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, speaking of Christ here, by himself. You see, and I'm going to use this here for when we go to thinking. You answer Scripture with Scripture.
Yes.
We'll say by himself. Now, where can we prove that it was by himself? If you go to the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation, there was a search made in heaven and in the earth and beneath the earth, and there was only one found that was worthy. None other, no matter where they looked, or where he looked, the Bible says he looked. It didn't say it. It didn't use the word search, but if you look, you search, right? So it's sound doctrine. Sometimes if you use a word that will be a little different, but it'll mean the same thing. Some people get dogmatic about it. Now, he don't say it exactly like that. The old timers had a good saying, get the kernel, in other words, get the truth out of it. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Being made so much better. Now, the angels was created spirits, wasn't it? We'll get into that just in a little bit. I'm not going to read this whole book. I'm just going to go through a chapter or so, and because it takes time to read and to study along. But I think it's good because some people don't understand these things. Some people look at this, that, but I don't understand it. And it's helpful to just sort of some time for man just sort of talk a little bit about it. Being made so much better than the angels, which was Christ, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. Now, Jesus Christ, brethren, was before the foundation of the world. Before the world was ever created, Jesus Christ was with the Father, being made. He was in the expressed image of the Father. He told Philip, here, I'm going to prove it here a little bit. When Philip asked him, show us the Father. Show us the Father. And he said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you have not known me? When you see me, you've seen the Father. For I and my Father are one. See, you can't separate them. Though they're separated, but yet they're not separate. They are one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and by the one Spirit they all baptized into the one body, which is Christ's body. Which is Christ's body. Okay, let's go back here. Then, and unto which of the angels said in any time, thou art my son, the day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now, if he'd been talking about some man, the angels wouldn't have worshiped him, would he?
Have been the first begotten.
In the fifth chapter of the book of Revelations, when John had wept because was none found worthy, Brother Terry, they looked and there was none found worthy. And the angel said, weep not, John. Behold, the Lion out of the line of the tribe of Judah had prevailed. There's one and prevailed. And the angels, when they, I'll not go into all that chapter, but when the angels begin to give glory and honor unto the Lamb, said, worthy is the Lamb to receive glory, honor, and thanksgiving. Worthy is the Lamb. Now here is the only, the first begotten of the Father. That's who he was talking about. The only begotten. Right here it says the first is the only. Unto the first begotten into the world, he said, and that clarifies it, into the world, the only one. Yeah. And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits. Now, here is something you need to think about. People has come to all kinds of conclusions about angels and how much authority they have or where they come from. Was angels created free moral agents? Now you need to ask.
No,
you need to ask your Bible that question.
From God.
Did they have a right to choose good and evil?
He made my angel spirits and ministers a claim of power.
The word, all through the Bible, and all through the Scripture, it talks about the angels of the Lord. Now the word of means proceeding from. Now here it goes. Now think about this. The word proceeding from. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits. Come from God, didn't he? And his ministers a flame of fire. For God is a consuming fire. When an old man of God begins to preach, what do you see when he's anointed with God? Don't you see the fire and feel the fire? See the effect like the tree that Moses, and he's seen the bush of burning but wasn't being consumed. You see not the fire as we see burning with wood or coal, but the fire of God, the Spirit of God. He said it was like fire in dry stubble, Brother Kenny. That's what the Spirit of God does. It catches, and the old man of God begins to preach with it. How many people feels it? You feel the very heat, the very warmth of that Spirit begins to enter into your heart and fills your bosom with this great power of God as it comes in. And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers the flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne. Now, boys, I want you to listen to this.
Unto the Son.
Now, who's speaking here? Was this not God speaking here?
Unto the Son.
Let me verify that. In the first chapter of Hebrew, first word it said God.
God who in sundry time.
God who in sundry time.
He was talking.
Yeah. And then he said here, but unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, even God called him God, didn't he? Is forever.
Because of the
Son. And is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Whose kingdom?
Thy kingdom. Jesus, what did Jesus say? As my Father appoint unto me a kingdom, I will also appoint unto you that you may eat and drink in my kingdom at my table. Now see, there's only one kingdom. They're hollering around, there's a dozen kingdoms. There's one king, there's one king, there's one kingdom. And in every kingdom, what is in every kingdom?
Subjects.
In every is there not priest and kings?
Yeah.
In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, he said, who made unto our God kings and priests, and they will reign with him upon the earth. Right here today. You're reigning with Christ. If you've been born again, you're reigning with Jesus Christ today in your heart. In his kingdom. One kingdom, in his kingdom. Them is true. That is the scripture we can prove. I just take what God, this is his letter to us. We need to take it and study it. Every scripture, just like sometimes, you know, you pick up his here and you read that whole chapter, right? You can buzz over that fast and you won't know nothing you read. You'd be lucky if you picked out one word out of it. But if you read it 20 times, that one chapter 20 times, You'll think a little about it. And then you think a little. Meditate upon it.
Certain words.
Meditate upon it. And look into every word, Brother Terry. Every word, ain't it? You don't just grab, pass over words and say, well, that don't mean nothing. Every word, even the little word, just like I said a while ago, the little word of. You're thinking about the little word of. Proceeding from. Well, if you hadn't read that, the angels, he said the angels of the Lord. You'd think it's, well, just angels. But if they come from God. Come from his spirit. Amen. That's God's spirit. He took and made these angels spirits. And they are ministering spirits sent forth into this world.
Like Jesus of Nazareth. He wasn't a Nazarene, but he was the of Nazareth.
That is exactly right. Exactly right. He was not a... You have a lot of controversy. Well, now, he was a Nazarene.
He was not a Nazarene. He was of.
Because because they come through, he says, there's a prophecy of that, Brother Terry, wasn't it? There was a prophecy. He shall be called.
Shall be called.
Ever come to it. He shall be called a Nazarene. That's the reason.
But he wasn't a Nazarene.
No, he was not. He didn't take the vows of the Nazarene, Nazarite.
I used to think different. And, see what I learned about you.
But it's just like you all Kentuckians, you come over and live in my state and be raised over there, they call you a Buckeye. And he said, and when he was down in Nazareth, and he was called a Nazarene. And thou, let's see, let's go on. And thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. What kind of oil?
Oil of gladness.
Huh? Did you ever study oils?
It's not olive oil.
I want you to study oil sometime. You that are Bible readers will know where the holy anointing oil, it was given unto Moses. And it was given only to the priest to duplicate. Only to the priest could duplicate the holy anointed oil. And I believe, if go back and study it, I believe there are 16 components of the holy anointed oil. But this oil here was not the anointing oil that the priest used.
No.
This was the Spirit of God. He said, the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus stood up that day when he got the book. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, didn't he?
Different spirit natural, Brother.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. That is the power, the holy anointing. When I'm standing here, and Brother Terry and his brother, when we're blessed to preach, you know what's upon us?
Anointing.
The holy anointing oil.
There you go.
Huh?
Right.
It was that same oil that the two olive trees, and well, that's a subject in itself. The two olive trees... when the golden pipes, he said, the oil come down through the golden pipes, poured out into the bowl, and the two olive trees consumed the oil.
Consumed the oil.
I'll let you study who them two olive trees was. We'll talk on that one day maybe. There's a great lesson in that. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hands. Now, here's the thing, you know, this crazy world that we live in, teaching our children that it was a big bang theory, we blowed up out of a creek once somewhere and slung us up on a rock, and that's where we started from. I mean, you know, ignorance is deep. I mean, sometime I think the education of this world, the Bible said in their wisdom, they knew not God. The wisdom of this world is what with God? Foolishness with God. Now you think, I'm not permitted to call people fools. God told us not to call nobody a fool. But he said the fool said in his heart, there is no God. A man tell me I blowed out of a creek. I think he's awful close to being one, wouldn't you think? That's what I'd think.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning,
that laid the foundation of the earth. Now, God created this world and the heavens and the things that are in. God created it. God spoke it. If you go back and study that, go back and study it. You have a double take in the book of Genesis. God created it, in his mind. This is what I think now, brother. You go back and study. You read me out. God created it. You go back and read it. God created this in his mind.
Listen to this.
And then God formed it.
Did what?
He made it and formed it. And spoke it into existence.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that something? God took man, you know, in one place, how he talked, and we'd have to read the book of Genesis for me to get every one of them words out of there. But it was through God's mind creation, and then he done the work.
Wasn't without form and void.
Yeah, you go back and read, I want you to just go back and study it, because there's more there than what I can say in a few words.
Right.
Read, I think maybe Sister Louise maybe brung that up one time. She had a question about that. But there's some good reading in that. And just keep that thought in your mind and sort of roll it back and forth. And some of these thoughts that I give you, some of these thoughts, don't take every word that I speak and think, well, now that's the gospel. Now, brother, I want you to go back and read it. I'll give you thoughts on things and you go study it out and see whether it's right or not. You see, because I'm subject to be wrong. But the scripture is not wrong. The Bible, I'm going to say this, the Bible will not, cannot contradict itself.
Does not.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doeth a garment. Did you ever read the scripture that said the earth abideth forever? Huh? What do you think about that? The earth abideth forever. But he said heaven and earth's going to pass. But the earth abideth forever. How can the earth abide forever? That's just something that really makes you think, don't it? I mean, gives you thoughts.
What earth are we talking about?
Like I said, every word comes out of my mouth here. You don't have to take it as gospel. But think about this man here that you look at. He's going to go back to the dust. And what's going to come out of that earth? How long is it going to dwell for? It's going to dwell forever in it. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool?
What is the last enemy?
Till I make thine enemy thy footstool. In the 15th chapter of the book of Revelations, or not Revelations, 15th chapter of the book of Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, talking, speaking of the resurrection. Is that right, Brother Fred?
Well,
the 15th chapter. I think it's 15th chapter, 1st or 2nd Corinthians. I never was good at chapter and verse. But if you ever question where I said something from, you come to me, I'll find it for you. Because I usually, people say, well, how do you know it's in there? I said, because I don't even read a newspaper. Only thing I read is the Bible. If I get any words, it's out of the book.
Yep. What I get. Amen.
Wow.
But the which of the angels said to thee at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemy thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits?
Which is what, angels?
Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Huh?
Their job is to minister to us.
Huh? What do you think about that? Did you know, Brother Fred, he knows this, that God gives every one of you an angel?
Absolutely.
And your angel doeth always behold the face of your Father. You got an angel that talks to God for you every day, brother. Did you know that?
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
You got an angel. And he beholds your Father's face.
Sure does.
That's right.
How many angels does God have?
Oh, I don't have no idea.
You couldn't count them.
What was scripture? I'm going to say this. Maybe it's not exactly like it. Seemed like the angels of the Lord in the book of maybe Psalms somewhere where the angels of the Lord are 10,000, thousands of millions.
10,000, thousands of thousands.
Thousands of millions. I mean, it's innumerable. It's innumerable.
I can't number.
You can't fathom what. But here's what I want you to look at here. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Who shall be heirs of salvation? Now this is where, don't get your mind cluttered around predestination.
No, sir.
Because it will confuse, if you don't study and really look into predestination, that right there, they'll take it and say, well, a certain select. And there's many scripture. We can get into them here.
Right.
Many scripture concerning predestination. But I'm going to tell you who this predestination is to. It's to the believer.
Absolutely.
All the plan.
Absolutely.
From the beginning, the predestinated plan of God before the foundation of the world was to only them that would believe it. God knew that they would be people believe it. And God knew there'd be people that wouldn't believe it. But the predestinated plan is to the believer, Brother Fred. He never chose out these little children and said, now you're going to heaven and you're going to hell. There's people believes and teaches that doctrine. It's called predestinated. Predestination of the individual being of the soul. And it's there's many churches. There's a lot of churches teaches that. And it's simple. We become heirs of God by regeneration. By being born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's how we come by it. By that one man that was begotten of God, sent forth into this world.
Well, because you're born in the world, because you be born again.
Regenerated. See, regenerated. You've got to be regenerated. You've got to become a new creature in Christ.
Jesus.
And this is who them was to the believer that believed upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You got to believe that he was born of a virgin. You got to believe that they put him on a cross and crucified him. And he died. They put him in a tomb.
He got up.
And on the third and the appointed morning, he got up. Now I'm going to ask you all your Bible readers a question. How come it was 3 days and not 1 day or not 2 days?
It's already been prophesied.
Huh? But why? Why was it 3 days? And I asked myself that question. And I don't have the answer to that. Don't look at me. I ain't got the answer for it.
Because he's prophesied it.
I know what the scripture says. Now here's what, I'll give you the scripture, but I still can't understand why. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now that's the reason why. But why did God choose 3 days?
There's something in the numbers you told me. I don't know.
Oh yes, there's no doubt, but as soon as you figure that out, brethren, come and enlighten me a little bit, because it's always confusing. It's confused my mind a little bit. Why 3 days? But God's got a reason. Oh, absolutely. Through his plan. That was God's plan. That was God's plan. It was the predestinated plan of God that we should be to the glory and to the and of his honor. That we who? The believer. Always keep that in mind. It's the believer. It's not the one that he's looked out there in 1,000 years ahead and said, you. But it's not. It's those that would believe the gospel. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. That's who it was. That's who it's to. It's them that would hear the gospel and would believe the gospel.
How many had the opportunity?
Who's justified? Who is justified, brother?
The believer.
Those that will believe.
It's not the hearer that's justified, but it's the believer.
He said, listen to this scripture. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, then after ye believed, then are you sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How does the rest of that go? Until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is in Christ Jesus. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. What did he purchase?
He purchased the whole field to get the pearl.
Amen.
He bought the church, and it come with an awful price.
The whole field was the world.
It cost him his blood. Let me quote this. unto the world it is foolishness, but unto us it's the power of God. Unto the world it is foolishness. They don't want to hear it. They don't. They're a bunch of old. They call you stick in the mud. They call you old fogies. They call you all kinds of crazy stuff. And I told them over at the work today, a young boy, he uses God's name and he curses and he carries on. I said, remember this. You're going to give an account for every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth. Watch what you say, because you're going to give an account for even you, the children of God. You are going to give an account. Now, I'm going to say this. Let me say this now. The children of God's going to give an account while they're alive. While they're right here, they're going to suffer over their disobedience.
Absolutely, Brother Junior.
That's
not
where
afterwards.
Not after. They ain't going to be no suffering after death now. But while you're right here, you're going to give an account, and you're going to suffer with a rod of chastisement. God will put the rod of chastisement upon
if
you.
What?
If whom you're a loveth. Son.
Yeah. Whom he loveth, he chastens.
Whom he loveth, he chastens. If he chastens you not, he said you're a bastard,
you're
and not a son.
Not a son.
Bastard, not a son.
Not
I'm going to get a little second chapter. I don't want to take all this time. It's 7:30.
We ain't no hurry.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Boy, what have you been listening to tonight? Yeah. Least at any time you should let them slip.
Amen.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward. Now, boys, you go down through the history of the old church and see what took place. See what took place with all the words that God spoke to them. And he said, if you will do these things,
if
you will do these things, you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed going out. You'll be blessed coming in. Everything that you have will be blessed. But if you don't, the cursing will be upon you. Receive the just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also being also bearing them witness. Help me out sometime, brother. I'll overlook words. Bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles. Now you think about the miracles that God performed and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come.
What world to come?
Now I want you to think about this.
What world was to come?
The Bible said that Christ suffered for sin. In the end of the world. Do you read that, brother?
Yes, sir.
Suffered once for sin in the end of the world. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. When did Christ suffer?
End of the world. That's now.
Huh? When did he suffer? When did he suffer on the cross? When did he suffer for sin and drink the bitter cup?
Yes, sir.
Suffered once in the end of the world to put away sin, brother. That was the law covenant. What was the law covenant was the end of that. That was the end of that law covenant. Now, the law covenant was natural. The law covenant was natural. He said this sin, talking about the blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. He said this sin shall not be forgiven in this world, nor in the world to come. Well, what world was he talking about? The grace covenant. The grace covenant. It wasn't forgiven under the law. Ain't going to be forgiven under the grace covenant either, brother. He wasn't talking about some other world he's going to create out there somewhere.
Different covenant,
unto the angel had he not put in subject of the world to come. Therefore, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now, why was Christ made lower than the angels? Thou crownest him with glory and honor. There's all that glory and honor we talk about the angels give unto him. And didst set him over the works of thy hands. The works.
He was over it, buddy.
Put him in charge.
And I don't know where exactly where scripture said. I'm going to quote it here real quick. And when he went back to heaven, he was given unto him all power. Both in heaven and in the earth. Angels and authority being made subject unto him. That's clarifying that scripture right there. The works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet.
Where are they at?
Under his feet. All things. For in that he putteth all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. What is left to be put under him? And I'm going to go back to, I was going to quote that a while ago in the book of Corinthians. The last enemy is death. He said, and when Christ shall deliver the kingdom, and this you'll find this, when he shall deliver the kingdom back to the Father, then shall he be all in all. When he delivers it back. The last enemy will be put under his foot is death. That's the last enemy we're going to have, brother. That's the last enemy. For Christians. Right. For Christians. We're talking about Christians here. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned him with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man.
And even Christ received grace of God.
You see, did he die for just the select few, like they're teaching people that is predestinated, just so many is going to heaven and so many. The Jehovah Witness tore me up, come over there one time in my house, tell me there's only 144,000 going to heaven. I said, well, pal, where's that leave you at? He said, well, I'm going to be here on earth. I said, well, you can stay here. It's going to get hot. Because the earth and the things therein will melt with fervent heat. The earth and the things therein.
I'm not going to be here.
For it becometh him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect. Wow, isn't that something? Through suffering. Now this...
Who did the suffering?
It didn't come easy, brother. When Christ died on that cross, he suffered a terrible, terrible, terrible death.
Sure did, man.
Terrible, terrible death. All the punishment. That passion, I watched that there and give a little idea what the Romans actually done to people in them days.
Cruel,
cruelty of how the flesh was tore and how the blood. And the normal man, I don't think, could have stood what Christ stood. But it was written.
There was none found.
It was written that he was going to go and die on that cross, brethren. And there's none could have stopped that.
They couldn't stop
it. It had to be in the plan of God.
They were doing the plan of God. Didn't know it, do it not. He said right
for both he that... For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brother. Now think about this, brother. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you brother. Huh? Isn't that something? He come into this world, took upon him what? The form of a servant. The nature of man. He was God and yet man. He was born of a woman. He was made under the law to redeem them that was under the law. But isn't that wonderful that he come and humbled himself even to the death of the cross, Brother Terry.
Sure.
Even to the death of the cross. Ashamed, not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Will I sing praise unto thee? We ought to sing praise and honor and glory. Let every tongue, every one that has breath, let him praise the Lord. He said, when you sing, how does it tell you to sing? When you sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding and pray, Pray likewise. When you preach, you're going to preach with the same spirit. It's all done with the Spirit. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God had given me. Think about that, brother. How many did He give him when he first come here? He said, all that my Father gave me, I have lost none of them. Do you think He's lost His power since he was glorified and all power was delivered to Him, the heaven and earth? He hadn't lost none when He was on earth.
Amen. He had it all.
And he's got all power today. He's nothing. There's nothing held back from Him. He's got all power, both in heaven and in earth. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That is a powerful statement there, ain't it? Think about
that.
The devil
had power of death?
The power of death. What was the power of death? What brings forth death?
Sin.
See? Sin. There was no law given. There was no law given that could give life.
Death
reigned. How long death reigned?
From Adam to Moses. Death reigned from Adam to Moses.
Then the law came. And then people, if they kept the law, they had a right to the blessing of what was to come.
They had a promise.
That one scripture said that they, talking about them as under the law, they without us could not be made perfect. They without us could not be made perfect.
God and the Son.
They without us, the grace covenant, the grace, the blood, they couldn't be made perfect. But because they kept the law, they was made perfect because the blood went back to them. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's the bondage that we're talking about, that death of sin. And Christ, when He come, what did Christ do when He stood up that day and read the book of Isaiah? He gave him the book. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What did He say He done, Brother Keith? He come to loose them that were in the prison house. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. They that was in bondage, He set them free. That's what He come for, to set them, He that had power over death, which was the devil's sin.
Which is sin.
He come to destroy him, and that's what He done.
And He done it. Defeated death, hell, and the grave.
For verily He took not upon Him the nature of angels, but He took upon Him the seed of Abraham. Took upon Him a servant's body. Took upon Him a servant's body that He could taste death for every man. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Oh, can we get a sermon out of that one? In things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
He reconciled
us. Reconcile. God, the Bible said that God was in Christ. Reconciling the world unto Himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. For in that He Himself had suffered being tempted. Was Christ tempted?
Sure, he was.
Huh? Yes, sir. Terry preached that just the other night, didn't he? About how He was taken up, how He was tempted. And the one script, did not one scripture say, Brother Fred, that He was tempted in all ways?
All points, without sin. You can't find a temptation that He didn't.
Ain't that something?
That is something.
He's done tried it all.
He's done
for you.
Done.
You can't.
Done
you know the Bible. You know there's a scripture that says there's no temptation taken man, but that which is common unto man. You can't say something new tempting me. It's been around from the very beginning.
Time.
The same temptation. For in that He Himself had suffered being tempted, He is able to secure them that are tempted. The flesh man had to die.
He had to die.
That flesh cried. It didn't want to die. Does your flesh want to die today?
He can't die without God.
That flesh, He God in the garden when he got down and he prayed, Lord, let this cup pass from me. He said his sweat. Now the natural man, his sweat became as great drops of blood. Now that the dread upon the natural, he had a body like ours. It was, we just read it after the seed of Abraham. Now he dreaded to die, brother. He knew what was going to take place. The sting, what was going to take place. The dread of drinking that cup of all the sins of all mankind and all the punishment he was going to go through. He dreaded that. The flesh dreaded that.
We can't comprehend that.
It's hard to comprehend that, brother. It's too great, some things. So, and I'm going to turn to church for a prayer request. We must
maybe have some more questions. I don't have any more questions.
If anybody caught any questions, you're welcome to. I might not be able to answer your questions, but I can. We got to ask questions concerning what we've read over and studied, because we get into other subject, you can go way off, and we'd be here half the night. The Bible is very depth. I try to get in a little deeper on what I'm reading to bring points to show you that these things, how they come about.